Next on BYUSN, Provo at Night strikes again. BYU football unhinges Kansas State in dominant fashion. We'll look back on the top plays, performances, and moments from the win. Plus, we discuss what the victory means for BYU as they make their first appearance in the AP Top 25 in two seasons.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich on what impressed him the most from the win and how this changes expectations. And what a week in the league. Did we beat Craig Bowler Jack in Big 12 Pick'em?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Monday, September 23rd to all of you. I am Spencer Linton. He is Cosmo's current training partner, Jerem Jordan. How's that going?
Yeah, it's great. Luckily, he hasn't caught on fire quite yet. That suit, who knows? Not sure if it's flammable.
That's a positive.
We hope not to find out. But of all the performances Saturday night, there were some great ones. Cosmo setting the world record for 70-pound barbell on fire backflip. Like, what can this dude not do? Holy mackerel. Put that fire out!
I love the extinguishers at the very end. Just the whole visual dynamic of that stunt was wild.
I would argue nothing can extinguish Cosmo, but good attempt. That was awesome.
The greatest mascot in all the land adds to his resume. That's a great way to start this show. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU opens Big 12 conference play. The Cougs will recover. Looking to scoop and score. The fire for the end zone. It's intercepted. Chase is on the case. Oh, my goodness. He's going to go. Touchdown.
So how was everyone's weekend?
Pretty good.
BYU. In stunning fashion, takes down number 13 Kansas State, not because they won the game, but how the Cougars won.
What in the world?
And how much they dominated the Wildcats, 38-9.
Like we all thought.
Unforgettable night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. What's crazy about this?
What?
Kansas State was Lavelle Edwards' first ever victory in Provo. The Wildcats scored 9 points that day. And the Wildcats scored 9 points on Saturday night at LES.
Shout out Lavelle, wherever you are.
I love it. BYU was looking to make a statement. I think they did. They had the nation's attention. They owned the night, absolutely. After the win, BYU head coach Kalani Sitake and offensive lineman Connor Pace spoke on what exactly the statement was that BYU made under those Saturday night lights.
Well, that we're here. All right, that we're here. And that we're going to come in every single week and we're going to play to win, right? And it's, we're not going to roll over for anybody like we did sometimes last year. You know,
I'm really proud of the way the guys played, man. We wanted to make a statement for our fourth game, and I think they did it.
Jerem, what type of statement did you take away from BYU's performance?
We ready. We ready.
Hey, the whole crowd sang that before
y'all.
The game.
Yes, man. The stat of the day tells all. Go ahead. Hit it. Let's go.
We're just shutting out teams. No touchdowns tonight. I had more touchdowns than Kansas State tonight.
There it is. Yeah, they scored more than Kansas State. The stat of the day is this. BYU's 29-point victory over number 13 Kansas State.
We're penalized.
We're like Kansas State out here. BYU's 29-point victory over number 13 Kansas State. The largest over an AP top 15 team in team history.
Wow.
BYU dominated.
Historic.
It wasn't historic. One element. Like, I would argue it was beyond the field, the domination. The wideout, the retro unis, Cosmo, the Cougarettes coming on the field early during that field goal was funny. The crowd was unbelievable. Largest crowd in 15 years. The light show, the Polynesian fire dancers, all of that combined with the incredible middle eight, the three takeaways, the 24 points and 625 at the end of the second, end of the third, the domination over a very good team. This is not a pretender who's going to go 6-6. This is not beating Notre Dame and then they go 6-6. This is a team that is a contender for the Big 12 title that BYU absolutely dominated.
They dismantled.
We have not seen a performance like this in a long time. It felt like 08 UCLA, 59-0. But what if UCLA was ranked 13th and it wasn't on Versus, it was on ESPN? That was the difference. I could not believe BYU's skill and fortune. And it was one of the funnest, greatest games ever played at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. I think it's top 20. I've seen people argue for top 10. I need to lay it out and figure out where exactly it ranks. But it is one of the greatest nights we've ever spent or Amazing. Seen in that stadium.
The sequence of events is largely unparalleled. Like, will there ever be a better 7 minutes of game time in BYU football history?
It was crazy.
That was unbelievable.
Field goal, scoop and score, INT, touchdown, INT, touchdown, punt return.
Four touchdowns. And the way that the punt return for a touchdown happened.
We'll get to that, too.
It's crazy. It's going to be tough to match that 7 minutes of game time.
Yes.
Ever.
It was amazing.
It was...
I was like
a core memory,
like giggling. How awesome it was!
Everybody was like, "What is happening?"
I spent the first half in the press box, second half on the set with you guys, because I was like, "I just want to feel the emotion of this." It's a very sterile environment, right in the press box. like, look at that sequence: Brass's 30-yard fumble, return, touchdown, Batty interception, 23 yards to Roberts, Taggart interception, 3 yards to Lassiter, Parker, yep. Kingston. It was actually Greg Rubel on the postgame, BYU Ready, said it was 137 yards run, by the way.
137
90-yard punt run, return touchdown. That snaps a 10-year streak, by the way. And then Parker throws
A week after BYU snaps a decade-long streak of not returning a kickoff for a touchdown,
so what are,
they return the punt for the first time in 11 years for a touchdown.
It's awesome. What are Kelly Papinga. Kelly Papinga, special teams coordinator.
Man.
What are the streaks that are long that haven't happened yet that we need to be
We need to dive into that, because the special teams thing was
punt or kickoff return, touchdown defensively? Is that the next step?
I mean, think about it.
Because he had a scoop and score. Last year, Jacob Robinson had a
pick six.
Eddie Heckert had a pick six in Oklahoma State. That's your last one. But it's not a long streak. It's only four games you haven't had that.
This has been crazy.
It's been awesome.
Yes. So fun to watch BYU win in new ways.
Yeah.
I had somebody ask me, well, how was this different than last year? And I said, well, for one, BYU is 4-0 and not 3-0. They won their Big 12 opener this time, so there's a difference there.
Against a team from Kansas.
And the way that BYU is winning, like BYU needed a bunch of turnovers by Arkansas last year to just escape that game.
Yeah.
This year,
it's awesome.
The turnovers from Kansas State and BYU crushed their souls. It was not to survive and win that game and sneak it out. It was utter dominance.
Will Ferrell's PAT on Tommy Prass's scoop and score is the game-winning score in the game.
How about that?
It happened
that?
In the second quarter.
To put BYU at 10 points. I had probably 50 people at some point or another last week say, how does BYU win this game against Kansas State? And we talked about it. Brian Billick talked about it. Using the crowd, inciting
crowd
them.
Is so good.
Getting them involved circumstantially.
That's when it's okay to incite the crowd.
And that's when Tommy Prass has picked up that ball and scored the touchdown. I said, this is the moment that we were all hoping for. And the momentum train just got rolling down the mountain.
Little did we know that was just
crazy.
The tip of the iceberg.
Did I not tell you that I'm going to watch closely how Avery Johnson handles the first bit of adversity in his first road P4 start?
Next throw for him is a pick.
Interception!
Right?
You rattled him. They rattled the entire Kansas State team with that one momentum-shifting play.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was done!
Last week, we also talked about this is a moment. Like, this is a moment. BYU fans showed up. Like, the show around BYU football accompanied how good the team was, too. Like, and they do whether the team's good or not. But the team rose up, too. Between quarters 3 and 4, there is a show, man. It is awesome. Cosmo. And the crowd gets into it. The whole team, once they hit turbulence, was jumping up and down. They've never done that. They are typically just kind of doing their own thing.
The last time I saw them do something like that was at Wisconsin.
Jump around.
When they had all the momentum.
They're up. They're excited. This was a moment in the season for this BYU football team. Now you're playing a ranked team. Now you're in the Big 12. Now it's year two. You have all this continuity. You have a team that can match the sort of excitement. And BYU responded in this moment. BYU knows when there's moments, and this was a great moment for BYU football. Mm. So they go from trailing 6-3 to being up 31-6 in roughly 6:25. I mean, that was an incredible sequence. You heard from Tommy Prassis, who joked that BYU, he had more touchdowns than Kansas State.
Fact.
That's pretty funny.
Fact.
And I loved his little chuckle after that.
Like, like the self-realization, like, I scored more touchdowns than they did.
Jack Kelly, by the way, he is a monster. Like, he should just show up as himself for Halloween. Because he is a certified monster.
Both he and Glasker.
Destroying people.
The linebackers were incredible on Saturday night.
Like, the whole defense. We'll get to that in a second. So, Tyler Batty, after the scoop and score, Tyler Batty has an interception. And he said something pretty interesting to you after the game.
You know, I think that is first career, both high school and college, if I'm being honest. I think that's the first in a game, the first time I've ever intercepted a ball.
Okay, I came over and chatted with you guys after, and I said, wait a minute, what? And I said, any level? Like, even when you were a kid, he's like, I've never had an interception. He did play tight end. I learned that. He did play tight end when he was younger, so he's got good hands. So congratulations to him. That's awesome. That was a big play in the game, too.
BYU's up 17-6, like 15 seconds later.
And the Avery Johnson rattled thing. Who is he throwing to there? The running back is not even close to where Tyler is.
He's rattled.
No, I know. He's not near him.
He's rushed. He's hurried up.
There was a corner blitz from, was it Jacob Robinson, that rushed that throw. Jay Hill's defense is incredible. We'll get to more. I'm excited about it. We're going to show you some numbers in a minute. The defense is the real MVP here.
So BYU goes into the locker room up 17-6, and then it's typically kind of this natural lull because there is a break in the game. You come out, and it's like, okay, how do we reestablish that momentum? Yeah, well, it did not take long because once again, Avery Johnson feeling the pressure and Jay Hill continuing to bring the heat. He steps up in the pocket and rushes a throw. Harrison Taggart is right there, Johnny on the spot to intercept that. And I joked with Harrison. I said, hey, you caught this one, unlike the one you dropped against SMU. And he's like, I'm going to punch you.
I wish he would have, jokingly, in the shoulder. That's funny.
But he caught that one. Harrison Taggart was outstanding on Saturday night in the middle of that linebacking crew.
Yep.
Man, it's just the momentum. So right as soon as that happened, the momentum is back. BYU scores next play.
Which, by the way, on that score, that's the same play that they ran at Wyoming, but through to Cody Epps. But they faked that. Darius Lester wide open.
Or was it two plays later?
Was it two plays?
Sione Moa run.
Whatever.
And then
the touchdown. Yes.
It happened fast.
Sione Moa. Huh?
Fifth string running back making a case to be the guy.
This throw.
Darius Lester.
Look at Cody. Go to Darius.
He got to do his new TikTok dance that he promised he would, show us.
Unveil. Love it. He's scoring a lot, by the way. I like it. He and Chase, the 1-2 punch there, man.
And credit to Jake Retzlaff. Jerem, he made some outstanding throws. And
he's taking
a picture of Darius' TikTok dance.
The offense took advantage, too. It wasn't like you were just getting field goals after these turnovers. Right?
The dime he threw to Chase Roberts to make it 17-6, great pass. Oh, my gosh.
Probably his throw
pass.
Of the year.
It was incredible.
I think that's his best throw of the year.
Yes, called by Austin Colley, by the way. We're sitting up there, and he's like, this is going to Chase. Watch. And then it's in the head of the direction. I'm like,
hey,
there it is!
Hey, right there.
Gorgeous throw. Jake didn't have a ton of reps on Saturday night because he didn't need to have them.
What was it?
15 of 21, I believe.
15 of 21.
21 passes. He was super efficient. He connected on 14 of his last 16 passes.
Amazing. Okay, but the play of the night. The play of the night is the
we've saved maybe the best for
Parker
last.
Kingston. Okay, this is I told him after the game, dude, you went from like your worst punt return ever to your best in like a few seconds.
Yeah.
A lot of fun commentary on this. I'm gonna sit down with him in the film room. You'll hear from him in a second with Spencer after the game. But this punt return is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Look at Isaiah Glasker just sprinting along.
Watch this 56 lineman. He had no chance. He went to cut Parker. He was never gonna get him. And the euphoria of this moment, of like everything is going BYU's way, it reminded me of Kainakua's pick six in 2015 to beat Boise State, where you didn't need that. But when you had it, it was just like the cherry on top. That was just like, it was almost too much. That's when we die and hopefully get to heaven, I want it to feel like that.
Oh, incredible.
Just like,
the welcome.
Yes. All my family's
you
here.
Did it.
There's everybody that I've ever loved. They're right. Yeah. Oh, I want it to feel like that.
It was an incredible.
That excitement.
It was an incredible moment for sure. Parker spoke with me about his punt return touchdown and the convoy he had heading up the sideline with him.
I felt like I had a personal escort in the end zone. I told him after. I'm like, bro, thanks. You were the reason why I got there.
of Isaiah Glasker specifically.
Isaiah Glasker on 4th and 2, by the way. The kind of ankle tap on Avery Johnson.
Amazing.
Amazing. Okay, this is about to be a disaster. Could have been tackled there. Could have been tackled there. Could have been tackled there. And then it's on.
Get the edge.
Isaiah doesn't block this guy right here that could have got him, but he was too slow. Isaiah's like, no, I'm with you. Dude, the sideline. Oh, no, let's go. Oh, my God.
Hey, there are three things that Parker also added in my conversation.
Yes.
One, I couldn't feel my legs when I got to the 20-yard line.
He was so tired.
He's like, the best I can compare it to is like if you run a 400-meter dash in track, like by the end of it, you're done. You don't feel your legs.
I don't know
you're
what that's
you're
like.
So out of gas. And then he said, I got to the end zone. It was celebration, but then there was kind of a moment where I blacked out.
Just
all emotions are happening so fast. And then I did ask him, you feeling okay after? Because he had to go to the bench and he's throwing up.
He threw up, yeah.
He says, I'm good. I'm good now.
You want to talk about someone who literally gives it their all? I can't feel my legs. I blacked out. I threw up. We're not talking like concussion where it's like dangerous and serious.
He also added, wow. After I saw it sail over my head and I touched it, and I was like, please just give me a good bounce. Just give me a good bounce.
Oh,
please
he got
give
a good bounce.
He got a good bounce, and it launched one of the most, if not the most, memorable punt return in BYU football history.
It's the play of the year. It's a top 100 play in BYU history. It is. We're going to put it in there somewhere when we update that. We've talked about the defense.
Wild.
367 of total low, 5.1 yards per play, which is a really nice number. 3 takeaways, 0 touchdowns allowed again against a Power 4. It's SMU and Kansas State. 0 touchdowns allowed. And you scored on 1. 3 field goals plus the 5 against SMU. BYU's defense is amazing right now. Let's look at the national numbers. 18th in points per game, 16th in yards per play, 23rd in yards per game, 15th in pass yards per game, 10th in red zone, by the way, for TD percentage, 27.3. That's 3 out of 11. 3 out of 11.
Wow.
8 takeaways, 7 of which are on defense. 1's on special teams, by the way. 0 pass TDs allowed. I don't think this defense could be much better. Jay Hill is doing amazing work in year 2.
Hard to argue when the 2 Power 4 opponents they have faced have scored some high numbers, notably SMU, who just put up 66 on TCU.
On the CW.
They scored 15.
Fun.
SMU didn't score a touchdown against BYU. I know, it was a crazy, weird, ugly game, but the defense just seems to make plays in the red zone, Jerem.
Look at
this
that graphic.
This is a consistent theme. They just seem to make plays
yes.
in the red zone.
There were some holding calls, some false starts that aided, right? Those are self-imposed, but like, look at those numbers. SMU putting up points on people, except against BYU. Kansas State, oh, 41-31.
30-plus in all their previous games.
9.
Mm-hmm.
9?
Yeah.
That's what BYU said to Kansas State as well.
It's crazy. Crazy. What the defense has established. How sustainable is it? We'll see moving forward.
I think defense is more sustainable than good offense. Because you preventing someone from doing something rather than doing something, to me, is easier. I think the defense can carry BYU this year. Can the offense score enough points? There will be a shootout at some point where they give up 30-plus, whatever. I hope not 40-plus.
Sure.
But, like, can the offense be there? Yeah, the complimentary football, man. It's
and
awesome.
Again, the offense awesome. Was efficient. They only needed 31 yards of drive for the 3 touchdowns that the offense scored, which Connor Pay talked about.
Field well, position was dominant.
We didn't really need to do much when we got on the field. A few
yes.
plays and we're scoring touchdowns. But you still have to make the throws and execute.
You got to run. You got to.
Again, Jake Retzlaff, 15 of 21, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 turnovers.
Yep. He could have had 3, let's be honest. It would have been fine.
Sione Moa broke off that unforgettable run in the north end zone late in the game.
Just like preseason, we were saying Sione Moa is the main guy. Oh, wait. There are 5 running backs that BYU is playing right now. Sione Moa takes over.
15
wow.
carries, 76 yards.
This was without LJ and Hingley.
A touchdown. So he's 5.1 yards per carry. He had 3 catches for 17 yards. And he listen.
Dude, there was that one that
I like
Jake
his hands
threw early.
Jake throws a fastball.
Yes, Jake threw it early. Every Jake that's ever played for BYU has thrown it fast. Jake Heaps threw it fast. Jake Retzlaff. Sione Moa, tough. Stiff-arming fools, getting inside the 5 there. He's impressive. We didn't know much about this guy coming into the year.
Well, we know now.
We do now.
We know now.
Tough sucker.
He's made a case to be the guy, certainly, while L.J. Martin and Hinkley Rapati try and get healthy. Like, it's Sione Moa's show.
Whoever's in there.
He's the guy right now.
But whoever's in there, we have great confidence in them. Whoever it is.
Now,
there have been times in the past where we go, every single guy you put in there, you're like confident they're going to make a play.
Wow. An incredible atmosphere. You saw Sione Moa enjoying his touchdown celebration with the crowd. 64,201, largest home crowd since 2009.
Against Utah.
Against Utah.
Wow.
Coach Satake spoke about just how impactful and unforgettable the environment was on Saturday night.
Incredible. Incredible. And I mean, you could just feel the momentum shifting, and you could just see. This place is amazing, and I'm glad that we were able to protect Lavelle's house tonight. The fans showed up, man. I believe it was a sold out, right? So it was a sellout, so a sold out crowd, and they made a lot of noise, man. This place is so loud at a lot of different moments, and I'm glad I was here for part of it.
We forget that was just BYU's third Big 12 win ever. They went 2-7 last year. Now they have two road wins, which they only won one last year. And that home win against Kansas State, you have a win against a ranked team. Like, this BYU team is obviously better. They have turned a corner. There's the continuity of last year. It's working. That's awesome. Also, BYU, when they're at home late at night against a ranked team, right now unbeatable. Since 21, haven't lost against ranked teams. 4-0. Like, Utah, Arizona State, Baylor 22, and then last night.
9-0 in September home games in that span.
That's amazing. BYU can own the late night kicks. We used to kind of, you're playing Idaho at 8:15 on ESPN, you know, this stinks. Well, yeah, that stunk. But BYU can own that section of college football.
Yes.
Like, in a unique, awesome way. Because it's pretty fun to watch BYU play at night in LaBelle Edwards Stadium pretty recently. Obviously, there's a couple exceptions, but not too many. So what does the win mean? Let's talk about it.
Oh, it means a lot.
BYU is ranked. BYU is number 22. I thought they'd be 18 or 19, but they're 22. That's
great. For the first time in 2 years, BYU is ranked.
I like that. October of 22. FPI win projection, you remember it was pretty low in the fours, in the low fives. It's up to 8.3.
Okay.
It's up to, that means they're expected to go 4-4 the last eight. FPI, favorites in 5-8. Remember they were like sub 30% and 8 of the 12 or 9 of the 12.
BYU was favored in 3 games all season to begin.
Still not favored this Saturday, by the way.
Which Baylor we'll talk about in a moment.
Baylor is the favorite.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about 4-0 for the first time since 21. Finished 10-3. We'll get more into, okay, what are the expectations now?
Yes.
What are we doing there? But just, it's so good, dude. That was one of the funnest games BYU's ever played.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Such an unforgettable, memorable,
in the history of this show, like
crazy.
Top three.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
To say the least.
It was amazing.
BYU, as we mentioned, underdog against Baylor. We will discuss this all week long. Right now, 2.5-point dogs.
I got 3.5.
So, this
three.
Is...
This three in some places.
Initial thought, this is a great thing. And
yes,
I know why.
Yes.
I know why. Early kick, day game, we'll cover all of that. But BYU as an underdog,
which is great,
after all of this, is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
How are you going to handle success is the question.
Big win hangover. Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about this week. Our question of the day.
In a bye week.
What was the top moment from BYU's win over Kansas State? You have like 17 things to pick from. At Clone Kugon X says, most people will say the punt return by Parker Kingston, and I do agree that was the craziest moment, but the scoop and score was the moment the momentum shifted. I just said it. 100% agree. It wasn't even a game after that point. I will also add that the BYU defense holding Kansas State to field goals was also huge.
It could have made it touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
And won 38-31, and that would have
been
fine,
greedy,
too.
I was getting greedy late. I was like, no touchdowns.
Yes.
No touchdowns.
No touch.
And they did it. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Coordinator's Corner coming up 2 Eastern time. Greg Rebell is going to chat with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, defense coordinator Jay Hill. Can't wait for that. 2 Eastern on the BYU TV app, BYU Radio.
After the break, it's another Mattich Monday. Trevor Mattich of ESPN on what impressed him the most about Saturday night's win and how it changes expectations for the Cougars moving forward. He buying this underdog thing? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Tonight opens Big 12 conference play. BYU defeats K-State by a final score 38-9.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Happy Monday, everyone. Another winning Monday. That's 4 in a row. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. It's now time for another Mattich Monday. ESPN college football insider, expert, and analyst, BYU national champion Trevor Mattich is back.
and after an historic win for BYU. The Cougars have never dominated a top 15 opponent like this, Trevor. It happened on Saturday night. How are you feeling after what BYU did to Kansas State?
Somebody's living right, because so many things happened that went BYU's way, and then to their credit, BYU jumped on it and ran with it. I mean, it was amazing. And as I watched that game, it looked like the whole atmosphere was astonishing. The players were jumping around. They were having fun. They were playing downhill. Everything pretty much was going their way. It looked like the fans were all into it. I mean, what an amazing moment. Of all games I've seen in a number of years, that's the one that I wished I could have been to.
Hey, and we'd love to have you at any game you can come to. You're a little busy at the worldwide leader there. But, Trevor, it's just like we thought. 241 yards of total offense would yield 38 points. It's the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third, the middle eight, as they call it. BYU dominated. They turned three takeaways into 21 points like that. How surprised were you by that sequence?
Yeah, well, how often have you seen something like that? I mean, you'd see it happen just like once or twice over the course of a short period of game time, but they just kept rolling with those things. And once again, you know, on the one hand, the defense had a scoop and score, so that's an instant score, but then they got a couple of takeaways and immediate touchdowns as well. The offense converted. They stopped them on downs. The offense converted. So you've got to give a lot of credit to the way they played complementary football there. The defense was on fire. But the offense didn't just get the ball and be conservative and kick a field goal. The offense went for it. I mean, they went for the how can you say this on TV? They went for the big play.
Yeah.
And I think that was just awesome. And when they got it, it fed on itself.
PG-friendly, Trevor Maddich on BYU Sports.
This is BYU
Nation.
TV, so
we appreciate that. Chris Klieman had some interesting comments at halftime and after the game, where he essentially said, look, this isn't about BYU. This is about Kansas State beating ourselves. That's an interesting comment, because BYU fans by nature are going to be a little bothered that there's no recognition from the coach that, hey, BYU is making some plays too. But how do you view that whole conversation of this is more on Kansas State and their mistakes, or more on BYU making plays?
Well, Kansas State doesn't play BYU again in the regular season. And my sense is that Coach Klieman was talking to his own team, not to BYU fans, or even his own fans, because he needs to clean up the mistakes that they made. I mean, they had three turnovers. BYU fans would say we had three takeaways. But from Kansas State's perspective, it's turnovers. And they had eight penalties. Now, those penalties, some of them were caused by the crowd with the false start. Some of them were caused by relentless pressure by the BYU defense, which drew holding penalties, things like that. But at the same time, it doesn't bother me at all that a coach is talking to his team through the media, because as much as you don't want your team to read the press, read what's being said, listen to the video, they're going to do it. They're going to see social media. So they are going to see their coach say this to them, not just one time in the team meeting, not just during practice, but every time they go online. Their coach is going to be either saying that or someone's going to be responding to it. We need to not beat ourselves. Don't beat ourselves. Don't beat ourselves. And BYU fans have seen the Cougars do that over the last several years. Remember this, that more games are lost than they are won. They're lost by mistakes than they are won by big plays. In this particular game, I think it's a combination of both. There were mistakes that Kansas State made that were avoidable mistakes, but mostly those mistakes were, if not caused by, certainly there was a big contribution by BYU and the relentless pressure that they put on the Wildcats. So I think it's not just a matter of Kansas State messed up. BYU had a big hand in that as well.
We'll see how things shake out throughout the season, but right now in the moment on the Monday after, that game, that win, that experience feels like one of the top, I don't know, 20 games ever played at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. I've seen people on Twitter challenge me and say, no, this is top 10. Spencer mentioned, hey, BYU's never defeated a top 15 team by that margin. Amazing. Where do you fit that win in the BYU pantheon of games in Provo?
I think from a standpoint of just pure entertainment, you've got to put it probably in the top three as I'm thinking about it. I mean, the Miami win, the Ty Detmer win over then number one Miami has to be number one, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yep. And so, but this one has to be up there because it's not just the fact that it was a great win. It was a fact that it was an astonishingly entertaining win. It was deeply emotionally satisfying for everybody in that stadium that was rooting for BYU. And then when you talk about things going your way, I mean, often games, there'll be an ebb and flow, right? But when it goes your way, it goes your way. Just look at the Parker Kingston punt return for a touchdown. he shouldn't have tried to field that ball. But when he did, he took off to the left. He picked up some great blocks. Isaiah Glasker, by the way, was one of those guys with those blocks. He's one of the heroes on this team so far that gets overshadowed by so many other heroes. But then he goes all the way to the other side of the field, takes off, and ends up losing his lunch on the sideline after he goes then almost, 100 yards for a touchdown, but he ran over 100 or about 150 yards. That was awful. It should have been a terrible play for BYU. He should have been tackled on the 2-yard line with Kansas State having all the momentum. And in this blink of an eye, it turns into a massive momentum play for BYU. Now imagine you're the fans. You see that happening. You see, oh, no, don't try to field it. Don't try to field it. Okay, got it. Okay, so he didn't fumble it. That's good. Oh, no, he's still trying to run. Oh, no, he's going sideways. Oh, no, he's kind of going back. It's going to be terrible. Wait, it might be good. Wait, he's still going. And imagine that whole sequence for fans, you know, and the team, everybody watching on the side. Imagine Kalani Sitake watching that, for goodness sake. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, nice job. Right. And so that sequence to me is an emotional touchstone for what the experience must have been in that entire stadium. Now, I will say this to young Mr. Kingston. Nice effort. Nice return. Don't do that again. You know, he will go off to the side and try to catch a punt like a receiver. You need to square up on a punt and catch it like a punt returner. And if you can't do that, you probably should let it go. So don't get too confident in your ability to go way outside the fundamentals of fielding a punt. But having said that, that play had to be the play of the game because what it could have been for Kansas State and what it turned into for BYU.
It's Maddich Monday on BYU Sports Nation with ESPN's Trevor Maddich. At this juncture, 4-0, BYU's ranked number 22. Trevor, when you look at the Cougars and everything that they have accomplished and done, what are they doing best right now on the field?
Their defense is astonishing. I mean, you guys have talked about how they've played two Power Four teams, SMU and Kansas State, and their defense has not allowed an offensive touchdown. I mean, that's astonishing. I'd like to see just statistically how many teams in the country have done that. You know, there's probably a few, but we're not accustomed to that from BYU. And so the fact that their defense is playing so well, that travels. That helps the offense because now the offense is typically not in a situation where they have to go into desperation, heave the ball down the field to come back from behind in the fourth quarter mode because the defense is keeping that score in check. That's huge, especially when you've got a quarterback like Jake Retzlaff, who is so capable of making so many awesome plays, but also sometimes tries to make a play that's a little too awesome. Well, the defense keeps them from having to even try that very much so far. And so that's what they're doing best. That we think of BYU and you think of the string of All-America quarterbacks. You think of the awesome offenses. What's hidden in that is that there were great defenses among those great offenses. This time it's not hidden. This time, so far this season, it's a defense-driven team.
That defense, as you talked about, is tied for fourth in the country with 0.7 offensive touchdowns allowed per game. Georgia hasn't allowed one. Mississippi, Texas, Ohio State, Tennessee, Alabama, BYU. That is pretty good company. BYU's number 22 in the AP poll.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a fair ranking at this point through four games?
I think that's fair. I mean, they're 4-0. They've got two Power 5 wins. And when you look at the quality of the Power 5 wins, Kansas State is one of the teams that is widely picked as getting to the Big 12 championship game and even winning the Big 12. SMU won't make it to the ACC championship game, I don't think, because of the way Miami and Clemson are playing. But they are expected to be competitive in that next tier. So those are good quality wins for BYU. If I'm a fan, I wouldn't get too caught up in the rankings right now because there's a lot of tough football to be played. It's nice to look there and see that BYU is ranked, but to me, it's what you guys said before. It's why you're ranked. The quality of opponents that you beat and the way that you beat them. Did you win because of a few lucky bounces of the ball? No. You won because your defense was dominant and your offense did everything it needed to do to play off of that dominance in complementary football. And so I think that ranking is appropriate, and I'm fine with it.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN with us on BYUSN. Trevor, Baylor awaits BYU a Saturday morning kickoff, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain. This is the polar opposite of what BYU experienced on Saturday with the late 8:30 p.m. kick in the Mountain time zone. So there is that. And then we find out Baylor is a consensus right now, 2.5-point favorite over BYU. What do you make of the line, Baylor as a favorite, and how the kick time might factor into that?
Well, first of all, good, because it's a, anything that a football team can feed off of in terms of perceived disrespect is good. And so BYU will see that as a slight against them. So yay. As far as the kickoff time, BYU has been all over the map when it comes to kickoff times. I'm guessing that won't be a big issue. It shouldn't be a big issue unless they get inside their own heads about it. But when you look at why is Baylor favored here? For BYU fans, it seems weird because of the dominating win on the scoreboard against Kansas State. But if you drill down a little bit deeper, there are things that BYU can get better at. As great as that defense played, they still gave up 228 yards rushing. The top three ball carriers for Kansas State averaged somewhere between 5.5 and 7 yards per carry in that range. And so they were able to move the ball on the ground well, but those 8 penalties and those turnovers kept them from really taking over on the ground. So that's and Baylor will feature a running quarterback, whether it's Quinn or Robertson. I'm not sure what Quinn's health is. They'll still have a guy that can run. So it's a similar problem for BYU's defense. We don't want to crown them the 85 Bears just yet. There's still a lot of tough football to be played. And when you look at BYU's offense, they only scored 3 touchdowns on offense against Kansas State, and they were all short fields that the defense gave them. Other than that, they didn't have a long touchdown drive. Now, they had fewer opportunities for long touchdown drives because there were so many short ones. But at the same time, BYU's offense can improve in terms of its consistency as well. So you look at that scoreboard of that game, and it's great, and BYU made the plays they needed to play. But when you dig down deeper, you can see that BYU is still a work in progress and they still have a lot of places where they can get better. They're 4-0, and they're not nearly as good as they're going to be. But you put all that together, and you look at the line, and I'm like, well, okay, that doesn't bother me. Let's go play the game.
There's only 2 teams in the Big 12 that have played 4 games, won all of them, and won their conference opener. It's BYU, and it's Utah. Do you feel like BYU's in the top 5 in the Big 12 right now, or just outside it?
It's so hard to say who the top 5 of the Big 12 are right now, because I mean you can go 8 or 9 teams that should be in the top 5, but I would put BYU in the top 5 right now. And the reason is they've, number one, taken care of business and taken care of business against some very good teams. And in beating one of the top 2 teams consensus, Kansas State, that's in the Big 12, you've got to consider that, okay, we have evidence, we have fruit on the tree. And the things I talked about that BYU needs to improve at, even with that, they still beat and actually throttled one of the top teams in this conference. So you've got to put them right now in the top 5. Right now, I'd say Utah at number 1. I'd put UCF at number 2. UCF is just under the radar, really good. Their running game is just lights out. They're doing some really good things there. Iowa State, then I put BYU. And then I put Kansas State right behind them. I'm a little worried about how Oklahoma State has been playing to start the season. Their All-American running back, Ollie Gordon, has not been able to get uncorked yet. So I would put BYU right now at number 4, knowing that you could put them at 4, you could put them at 8, and there's very little difference between.
He is a gentleman and a college football scholar, Trevor Maddich, once again delivering on BYU Sports Nation. Thanks as always, Trevor.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yes, there is. After the review, will help us do it as well. Tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
Still on the way. we'll take a closer look at that BYU-Baylor line. Cougars are an underdog once again, and recap some big performances from BYU guys in the NFL. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation. Oh, BYU just scored again. Crazy. On Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
So this just in from one of our producer friends, Harrison Collier, who points out one of the craziest things about BYU's win on Saturday is BYU scored 27 points in the middle 8 minutes without receiving the ball to start the second half.
They didn't even get the ball. That's right. It's not like they went down and scored. That's funny.
That's crazy.
31 points in 6:25?
Yep. When is it going to happen again? Let's revel in the moment and enjoy it. And also, let's revel in today's headlines.
BYU beats number 13 Kansas State 38-9, highlighted by National Player of the Year candidate Parker Kingston's punt return.
Sends a low driver to Kingston. He bobbled it. Kingston recovers it inside his 10, running away from tacklers to the far side of the field. Now the 10, the 15, the 20, the 20, the 30. Convoy down the sideline. Midfield 45, 40, 35, 30. Oh, my goodness. He's going to go.
Greg Wrubell was mildly excited about it. With the win, BYU 4-0 for the first time since 21, jumps to number 22 in the AP poll, first time since October of 2022.
The kick time for BYU at Baylor announced as 12 Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on Fox Sports 1.
Early.
That's another topic for later this week. Currently, BYU a 2.5-point underdog to the Bears. ESPN's Football Power Index gives BYU a 52% chance to win the game, a jump from previously 39% before BYU beat Kansas State. Pregame coverage, 10 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio Saturday morning.
We should say a.m. because they're going to say 10 Eastern.
A.m.
Yeah, it's Eastern. In the morning, man. That's crazy. Cougars in the NFL. Fred Warner, 4 tackles and a PBU in the Rams. 24-27 win against the Niners. KVN, 2 sacks. Ravens, 28-25 win against the Cowboys. His 4th sack. The season tied for 3rd in the NFL. Tyler Allgeier, 7 carries for 32 yards and the Falcons, 22-17. Controversial loss to the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. And Kyrus Tonga, 4 tackles for the Cardinals in a 20-13 loss to the Lions. Everybody losing in the NFC West, except for your 3-0 Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, okay. And controversy with the Chiefs? That's weird.
Whoa, a flag that helped them win a game? That's wild.
That's weird. Cougars in the NFL, no part 2. Chris Brooks had 3 carries for 3 yards in a 30-14 Green Bay Packers win over the Titans. Jamal
Happy
Williams.
Happy for him.
Yes.
On the 53, getting carries?
Absolutely. Jamal Williams, just 1 carry for minus 1 yard in a Saints weird 15-12 loss to the Eagles. Taysom Hill ruled out the game due to a bruised lung. Hope he's back and soon. And Ryan Rico and the Cincinnati Bengals host Michael Davis and the Washington Commanders tonight. It's part of a Monday night doubleheader of sorts.
Number 19, women's volleyball, 2-0 this weekend with sweeps over both Weber State and Utah Valley. How about Brielle Kemavor specifically against UVU? Double-double, 10 kills, 10 blocks Saturday. I've never seen a middle blocker get a double-double. I thought that was awesome. BYU 7-3 begins conference play this Thursday against the Colorado Buffaloes.
BYU women's soccer in a big match tonight at South Field hosting conference foe Utah.
Oh, yeah, them.
It's a conference game now. Both the Cougars and Utes, 1-1 in Big 12 play and coming off road losses. Match starts at 9 Eastern on ESPNU.
And today, the Big 12 and CBS Sports announced an expanded partnership with a multi-year agreement for additional men's basketball games. So CBS will now air at least 6 Big 12 games a year, and 20 will be on CBS Sports Network. We still await the official dates and times and TV on men's basketball Big 12 play.
Hey, what in the world happened around the rest of the Big 12 over the weekend? And how did it impact our picks competing against the great Greg Craig Bowlerjack? We'll recap week 4 after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. Let's recap our Big 12 pick'em segment from last Friday.
Okay, number 22, Utah takes down number 14, Oklahoma State. Utah dominating this one. Then Oklahoma State made it interesting. Isaac Wilson started. Well, Cam Rising didn't play a lot. He gets hurt, unfortunately.
I think he'll be back
ACL,
for the Arizona game this week.
Yeah, yeah. But week to week, it's like, is he going to play? And then he doesn't play. So big win there. We all missed that one. We all had Oklahoma State winning that one. SMU put up 66 and beat TCU 42 on the CW. Sonny Dykes gets thrown out of this game, man.
Weird.
Wow. Bolajek had that one. We both missed that one. And Colorado-Baylor. This one was wild. Colorado, Hail Mary to get to OT. Wins it in OT, 38-31. Probably game of the weekend. Yeah, Travis Hunter did his thing, man. You had Colorado winning this one. Bolajek and I had Baylor.
Again, I don't know what to make of Colorado. And I've been wrong about them until I was like, you know what? I think they're going to lose, so I'm just going to go opposite. And they found a way to win.
You lived for 3 years in Colorado. You know Colorado better than I do.
Boulder gets weird, that's for sure. West Virginia, they survived Kansas. Poor Kansas.
Kansas, 1-3.
Cannot get out of their own way late in games. Eesh. Like, they should be 3-1 yeah. at worst, but they are 1-3.
A lot of heat on Jeff Grimes right now as the OC.
Garrett Green led West Virginia on 2 touchdown drives and scored the game-winning touchdown on a pass with 26 seconds left. They survive and win by 4. Both you and I get that one, Craig Bolajek. Misses on that pick. Cincinnati all over Houston. Cincinnati's defense holding Houston to 233 yards of total offense. Boy, the Cougars in red, they're struggling for sure.
Man.
I was the only one to get that right.
That one shocked me. Yeah.
Both you and Bolajek went with Houston there. No Cincinnati way. Wins big. Okay, Texas Tech, 30-22 winners over Arizona State. Baron Morton, 2 touchdowns. Maybe Texas Tech has figured some things out after a weird start to their season.
Yeah.
Taj Brooks is a really good running back. I thought Arizona State would find a way. Craig Bolajek went with me. You were the only one that gets that
I like
right.
Tech at home. There you go.
And then you and I picked BYU to beat Kansas State.
Yes, we
Craig
did.
Craig Bolajek, not surprisingly, picked his alma mater, Kansas State, to win that game. That did not go well. And so in our Big 12 pick'em this week, it's a tough week overall for everyone involved.
Hey, Craig had a tough one. If we invited him back next week, this week, I bet he'd go 6-1.
I bet he'd
crush it.
I win the week. I go 4-3. You're 3-4. So you and I are tied.
We are tied. How about that?
There are our guest pickers. Kenneth Rook still leading the way at 5-2.
Have we beat the picker 3 out of 4, though? Or 4 out of 4?
I don't think we've lost.
Oh, we tied with Kenneth.
Yeah.
So we haven't lost.
We haven't lost.
In the soccer sphere, we haven't lost. We're unbeaten. BYU football with Kalani Sitake featuring guest Keanu Hill coming up tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
And we can't wrap up this show without a rise and shout out to so many of you involved in what happened over the weekend. We'll get into the specifics next. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What was the top moment from BYU's win over Kansas State? So many. At Brandon Palmer, but with a 3. On X says, the freshman Tommy Prass is high-stepping into the end zone on the scoop and score. Changed the momentum of the whole game.
By the way, Woj was at the game.
Yes, he was.
Will Hardy, Colin Sexton, Keontae George, a bunch of jazz guys.
Celebrity status.
That was awesome.
All over the field.
Some high-profile recruits.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Our elite voice for the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from MVHS984 on X, who answers, the punt return was the top moment. Went from no, no, no to yes, yes, yes. Just glad Kingston held on to the ball across the goal line. Ooh, hold on to that ball a little longer, Parker.
1 yard away.
He said it would have been an all-time swing of emotions on the same play. Yeah. Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about this from Will Osborne on X? I usually listen to Spencer and Jerem on my way home from work each day. Great way to stay connected to the Cougs in the Midwest and de-stress from work. Thanks. Last night was great. I put off going to the hospital for gallbladder troubles until after the win. Best of luck with the surgery, Will.
Will!
That's awesome. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope everything goes great, man.
We appreciate the dedication. We appreciate all of you. Oh, this is so much fun to revel in with all of you.
How about this one? Sean Nielsen on X tweeted at Greg and Hans. I lost and swallowed a piece of crown celebrating the Prass's fumble return TD worth every minute of the dentist appointment next week. Oh, my.
Good luck at the dentist, Sean. Good luck, my friend. And this is outstanding, is it not, from BYU fans?
Jason Conander. On Wednesday, Avery Johnson announced that he'd be pledging money for every touchdown he scores this season for his former high school principal who is battling stage 4 cancer. Mm. Johnson didn't score a touchdown on Saturday, but his $20,000 goal was already hit. Why? BYU fans, who have helped the donations with Kansas State fans and others reach over $26,000.
Wow!
Awesome job, everybody. Congratulations. That was awesome.
Over $10,000 raised alone from BYU fans for that goal.
And the atmosphere. Amazing. Amazing.
Well done, everyone. That's how we fan. Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry, Dennis, ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Dennis Simmons. We'll see you on Coordinator's Corner at 2 Eastern. Go Cougs!